How's it going, everybody? Welcome to the Dead Jester Productions podcast. I'm your host, Joshua J. Moskers, joined this week by special guests, B and Maceo, hosts of the Super B podcast. Thanks for being here.
Yo, bro. Thank you for having us.
Yes, yes. I'm excited to be on here. Thank you for having us.
Awesome. Appreciate you guys stopping by. Before we get into it, why don't you tell people about yourselves, what it is you guys do, what your show's about?
Okay. So, like, basically, our show is like kind of, you know how you have friends, right? Mm-hmm. You'll go talk to those friends about like certain shows, movies, whatever, mm-hmm. sports, right? And they'll be like, okay, watch this or watch that. That's essentially what we're doing, minus the sports. We're just talking about shows and movies. Nice. And yeah, go ahead. Excuse me.
I was just going to say, yeah, it's really just two good friends just, you know, discussing different things within the realm of movie shows and just pop culture in general. So we cover a wide spectrum of topics, but I think that we provide a good something or a good amount of things for every listener.
Nice. What made you guys decide to start up your podcast?
Oh, well, I think this is like for me. So basically, like, I was just thinking, yo, there has to be, or I like to talk about shows. Like, I definitely love giving recommendations for shows. So, like, why don't I go ahead and put this on a podcast? You know, maybe other people would like them. That was just my thinking at the time. Mm-hmm. Like, If they like it or not, that doesn't matter. Like, I just want people to just hear about them. That's it.
Nice.
Yeah. And personally, I originally wasn't even a regular member of the podcast. B just hit me up one day and he asked if I wanted to come on and the topics that he had. For that particular episode, I really enjoyed. So we record the episode and it was just a process that I really enjoyed, you know, and I felt like you said, we had a chance to really kind of give our opinions on things that not only that we like, but, you know, the mm-hmm. general audience really, really likes. And like you said, even if they don't like it or if they do, it's just kind of a nice way just to get our thoughts out there.
Yeah, like we've given you the book. You don't have to read it, but it's there now. Mm-hmm. Essentially.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, fair enough. I wanted to ask too, because your show is a little over a year old now, I think, at this point. You had a bit of a gap between episode one and two, and you've been pretty consistent since then. What is your experience? Not that you're, like I said, it's been a year, but I still consider a year like fairly young as far as content creation goes. Like, what has your experience been like as far as getting the ball rolling and getting things started in the podcast sphere, so to speak?
Oh, bro, like, I'm not gonna lie, it was tough because, like, earlier, yeah, you did mention that there was like a gap between our first one and then the next one was because, like, I just didn't think I would do it again after the first episode, or I didn't get around to it. But then, like, after probably episode four, that's when I started seeing, like, okay, this is fun. Like, we like this process. It's definitely, like, a lot of fun to do, and just to, like, you know, even to talk to people, like, at least even once a week, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. It's, I think, only 10% of podcasts release past three episodes. I think like 1% make it to 10 episodes, and I forget how many get to 100 episodes at this point. It changes, especially in the last like couple of years. The stats are all over the place because there's been especially with COVID, there was such an influx of podcasts, and even in like the sort of celebrity side of things, like how many celebrities have podcasts now. They leverage their stardom into a more relaxed format where, hey, I'm already famous, I'll just sit down and talk for an extra hour and make a bunch of money because I already have sponsor deals, which is whatever. It's fine. But exactly. Yeah, it's.
They're it's, like printing money.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's interesting. Like I said, this is what, 218 that we've done for this show. I've done close to 1,000 in my life at this point with shows that I've done. I mean,
wait, so wait, when did you start podcasting, doing this?
I've been doing podcasts since like 2008.
Hey, yo. Wow.
Yeah, I've been on YouTube since then on a variety of different channels. Some have had more success than others. I've done Twitch for, I don't know how many years at this point. I was on Twitch when it was Justin.tv, if that's a reference.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So yeah, I've been in the content creation field for quite some time, and I do it, not the Dedrus production side of things, but like I do work in marketing and content creation semi-professionally as well. So it's been a long time. So I've seen a lot of changes over the years, and some good, some bad, especially the way some like YouTube and Twitch and things like that, especially some of the times the way they manage their platforms is annoying, but
yeah, they're messing up.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I'm always curious to see like how people get started, what their reasons are for it, and like what their experiences are like, because it's hard to get any sort of traction nowadays. Like it gets harder as it goes on. I mean, when I got started on YouTube, I mean, there was a lot of people on it, but by comparison wise, like I was way more popular when I was getting started on YouTube in like 2008, 2009, because yeah, there wasn't as much competition. Granted, there was next to no money involved in it at the time either, because there weren't as many eyes on it.
Yeah.
But it's been, it's interesting. It's a lot more business oriented now, which is somewhat similar to podcasting in a lot of aspects when people get started. I feel like not always, but there's a lot of people that get started with a business mind. Like, I don't know if I explained it properly, but a lot of times I talk about it to people where back in the day, I use YouTube as an example because it's the one I'm most familiar with. Like back in the day, if you think of like old school YouTube videos, it's just random people with like video cameras uploading funny videos with their friends or of funny situations. Nowadays, how many times do you see people just getting started and they have like professional setups and they're trying to get sponsors right away, and you know, they have all of their tags and they like, they're just way more business oriented with it. They have a business mindset as opposed to the cool, I just want to share content and have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do think that's an interesting point, how you said the just sort of how the mindset of things has changed over time. And from what you were telling us, it's kind of interesting that you had like a front row seat to see that throughout the years.
What's that? And it's like the fact that I work in the marketing industry, I get a front row seat as well to how businesses approach the advertising on it as well. And I have, like, I'm constantly researching, you know, the back end sort of stuff for a lot of these platforms like Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Google in general. You know, it's kind of creepy the way data is bought and sold and transferred around. It's a little disturbing. But at the same time, I do enjoy it. Not the creepiness side of it, but the content creation side of it.
No, definitely, bro. It has its ups and downs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I had a different point I was going to make and I lost it, which tends to be the case, unfortunately. But no, I'm happy. Like I said, I see you guys have like a more consistent upload schedule, which is cool, because that's a big factor. And especially at the beginning too, it's having a consistent initial burst of episodes is always super helpful. I'm disappointed. I had a point I was going to make and I lost it. Oh, well. But what do you, before we get into the main influx of topics we want to talk about, do you have like a set goal or like ideas that you want to go after moving forward with your show?
With the show right now, ideas? No, just getting more followers, like, or more people to listen, more downloads, essentially. Something like that.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I agree. Just to, you know, not be too greedy at first and just grow the our fan base and, you know, the amount of listeners that we have weekly. Just because the point you made, we're trying to stay consistent within the beginning phase of this, just because it can be hard with major gaps in between to get a consistent, like, listening base.
Yeah.
So I think the approach that we have has been working pretty well. You know, it's a small start, but it's always better than nothing, of course.
For sure. I mean, everyone starts small. I mean, it's nothing to be disappointed with. Like, I mean, I started with nothing, even my setup. Like, if I had the setup I started with today, I'd be like clinging on for dear life in every aspect. I mean, I did more YouTube, but I had my office chair, I had my toolbox sat on that, and I had other boxes and books sat on that. And I just had an old little one of those there. I think they were called flip cameras. It's a video camera. And I sat that on top of the boxes and crap on top of my office chair. This is when I was, what would it have been, 12, 13 or whatever at the time. And I just sat that on top of everything and I filmed my TV that way. And that's how I recorded YouTube content when I would do like gaming content and stuff at the time. It was a poor man's setup.
And bro,
built it up over time.
What did you play?
I did a lot of Call of Duty at the time.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, especially for the time.
Yeah, Call of Duty was taking off at the time. Now, back then, I was super into it as well. I played it all the time. That was just before I peaked at the game as well. And my gameplay skill level peaked the exact same time my content was taking off, which was nice. It helped out a lot. Because if I'd peaked beforehand and started falling off when my YouTube was growing, it would have been devastating. Where it's like, hey, everyone, here's me being terrible at the game I'm really passionate and invested in.
No, that's pretty good.
But it's hard to grow an audience base. Like I said, but the consistency, I know that's a point you guys are making. Like, inconsistency makes it so difficult, because as you're getting listeners in, if there's like a gap, then it's all of a sudden they're like, oh, if you know, you don't have that built up habit of like, oh, tune in every week to listen to them. It's, you know, you have to, it's like building up a habit with children, teaching them to brush their teeth, you know, where it's like, all right, gotta brush my teeth again before bed, gotta brush my teeth when I get up, whatever. You built that habit in. Same thing with listening to a podcast or any sort of content.
No, that makes sense. Definitely. That's why we've been trying to be more consistent.
And it's weird that I literally work in the field, and yet my social media management of my own content is some of the worst I've ever seen. I'm so bad. Well, part of it is because like I don't like I do the podcast, so it seems kind of like an oxymoron where I don't like having my information out there, but I don't like having personal like Facebook accounts and things like that, because I'm generally not like a social media person, like liking in regards with posting photos of myself and what I'm doing and things like that. I also don't generally care what other people are doing, but I enjoy the podcast because I get to meet new people and chat with them and everything. But I don't have personal accounts, so I never built up that habit of posting every day on my own personal account. But then at the same time, I'm managing like dozens and dozens of other businesses' accounts, and I'm posting there daily. I'm uploading like YouTube content daily, watching that be successful. And it's kind of disheartening knowing that I could just be doing that for myself instead.
Bro, that's wild.
I enjoy it. It's fun. I do enjoy like seeing it be successful and knowing like, hey, we did it as a team.
Exactly. Like, it's you're building something with your own hands. You know, you feel like, damn, I had a hand in it too.
Yeah. So it is what it is. Anyway, we'll get I did want to touch. We'll dive into the actual topics at hand. I've ranted on experiences for too long. And I might have you guys start this off, because I don't have as much of a background in this as you might, which is the Batman Beyond movie. That I'm assuming you're referring to the canceled version of it.
Yeah.
What is
that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. What is, you want to lay it out for people? Because like I said, you'll probably know more about this than I do, but I did a little bit of research on it beforehand.
Okay. So essentially, well, let me ask Maceo. Bro, you want to start, Maceo?
Yeah. So I saw the a story of this come out about not even a month ago, but sometime during February. And one of the people that was involved, they came out and they were discussing how they had a pitch for a Batman Beyond movie, and they provided some steals and screenshots from what they had created. And looking at it, the first impression it gives you is that, you know, this is similar to what Sony's putting out with the their Spider-Verse movies. So I think that was some, you know, it's intriguing in that sense. And what makes it even more interesting is the story behind it is that the initial pitch resulted in them saying that there's no way that that they would make a Batman Beyond movie. But, you know, they kept trying and trying, and it's starting to get some sort of traction, and their ultimate goal is to get it to get it to James Gunn, since, you know, he's the head honcho at the time with what's going on with the DCU.
Which, like, I wanted to jump on and say, like, not really jump on. I just wanted to, there was a point. So, do you guys think that it's a little weird that something like Batman Beyond can't get a movie? I think it's a good idea, or it's a good concept. It was looking like one.
Yeah, yeah, it's weird, they had a Batman Beyond movie come out in like 99. I remember seeing that one.
It was beautiful. Ball. And,
I forget when the... I forget when the Mask of the Phantasm was another animated one that came out that I remember watching all the time as a kid. And people, I don't think people remember this, but in the VHS case for that movie, behind the cover, there was a little comic book inside the case.
Was there?
There was, yeah.
Did you keep it?
No, I was actually talking to my part-time co-host here. It came out in 93. I was talking to him about this, I think it was yesterday. Like all of the stuff I had as a child is just gone. My parents got rid of all of it. I'm so disappointed. I had like all of my VHS movies. I had the entire Goosebumps collection at the time. I think they've come out with more books since then.
Oh, wow.
But, like, I had the entire collection of books all gone. Like all of my books were gone. I had a heavy bag that I'd gotten for my birthday one year, just gone.
What?
I had my Nintendo, my original Nintendo, the Super Nintendo. I had my my Wii, my PlayStation, both of my PlayStation 1s. I had the original version and the curved, like, smaller version. PlayStation 2. Everything's just gone.
Oh, man.
It's so disheartening.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a little disappointing, especially with looking at the marketplace for some of those things on trying to get them in 2024.
It's so sad. Like, there's especially, like, a lot of this stuff was like gifts. That's what annoys me so much.
Yeah.
It's like the PlayStation. Like, my dad had gotten that for me early 2000s, whenever it came out. He had gotten it brand new for me at the time. And I just remember playing that all the time, like playing the Spyro games, the Crash Bandicoot games.
Absolutely.
Just playing that all the time. And I'm like, oh, it's gone. Granted, I can play the games now, like the remastered versions, whatever, but it's not the point. It's the
principle of the thing.
Yeah. So, but yeah, no, all those old VHS and things like that. Like, I remember, like, I had and I don't know what happened to these, but I remember having a bunch of old Batman comics as well. Like the Dark Knight, and it was like just the detective comics. And they were, I remember, I didn't have collections of them. What would happen is my grandfather would watch me when my mom was at work, and we'd go to town, and he'd stop at the bank. And then right next door was this little shop where it was like a little convenience store. He'd go in, they have a couple of snacks and things like that. And he'd buy a newspaper and he'd always buy me a comic. And I just pick a random comic off the rack. And so I have like a random assortment of like Batman, Spider-Man. I don't even know what the one was. Like a, I can't remember like anything. It was just one random off comic where it's like a blue buffalo or something. No idea. Don't remember it at all. It might not even have anything to do with that particular superhero. It might just be one random off issue. But just like all these random assortments of comics and things like that I would collect over the years. And no idea what happened to any of them.
Bro, what a memory.
I don't know. It which is weird because I used to be super into like all those like old Marvel and DC comics, but as an adult, like I'm not particularly interested in like superheroes anymore. Like I don't dislike them, but it's just, I don't know. My tastes have changed a little bit.
Other things are occupying your mind.
Yeah. Yeah. But I guess I'll ask it. Are you guys more DC than Marvel since you brought up the Batman in general?
No. It's not even a feud. I'm a Marvel person. Like,
okay.
Like, no apologies. Like, I am a Marvel person. Mason, I feel like you're in the middle. What are you?
Yeah.
What are you?
I would say I'm kind of in the middle just because of, growing up, mm-hmm. I latched on to Spider-Man a lot, like mm-hmm. a lot of kids did growing up. So I leaned towards Marvel, but then somewhere in between there, I kind of, I consume like, reading the comic books and watching all the Marvel TV shows and movies that were coming out. But in the middle somewhere, I started getting into like DC comics. So I definitely have a respect for the stories that DC has told. Maybe not so much movie and television wise, but
you don't like the smash hit after smash hit they've been putting out. Yeah.
Bro, it's more like garbage after garbage.
I said, I'm not super invested in any of them, but like I lean more towards DC because I like the grittier stuff. Mm-hmm. Not that like Marvel shies away from it entirely, but Marvel definitely does have more of like a, I don't know if cartoony is the right word, but they do a better job of incorporating the humor and like lightheartedness of it while having dramatic moments and scenes. But man, Marvel did an infinitely better job for 12 years, probably, while DC was just fumbling the bag over and over again.
Like, they really did fumble the bag. Not with, okay, we'll give them the Dark Knight. Like, can we all agree, like, the Dark Knight series was a W for DC?
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Like, okay, that's a W. But then when they started to do this whole, like, I don't know how you guys feel about Batman versus Superman. I thought it was an all right movie. I just didn't think that it should have been there. It should not have been made at the time that it was made. They just really, do everything. Yeah.
I was going to say, I think they were trying to catch up to Marvel. Marvel had the Avengers going. They were really full force at that point, I feel like. I don't remember the timeline, like when each of the movies came out and where Marvel was at the time, but I'm almost positive they had at least one, if not two, Avengers films out at that point. And they were building out their universe. And DC was like, we got to catch up. Let's just start throwing in every hero we can as quickly as we can. You saw that with Wonder Woman just showing up super quickly. Basically out of nowhere.
Bro, that was insane. Because I'm not going to lie, they caught me with that. That's what made me like the movie so much, because when she showed up, I was like, she's here to kick some butt. Like, that's what she's here to do. And nothing else. That's it. And then she'll leave after. But yeah, that was random. They did add a lot of I don't know if I can say unnecessary. I can say it's unnecessary. Mm-hmm. Unnecessary things into some of the movies that I couldn't get down with.
Because I think the next film then was Justice League, if I'm not mistaken. And like I said, like Marvel spends so much time, each character getting their own film, if not two, before being brought into the main series to a certain point. Like Iron Man had, I don't know how many films out before they did Avengers, the first one. You had Captain America. You had Thor had, I think, just probably just the first film at that point, maybe. Obviously, you know, Hulk had done previous films, but not connected. But I mean, they'd done like set up films. And then you went from Batman v Superman to, hey, here's the entire Justice League. We'll just throw them all together real quick in this film.
Exactly. And I don't know. Mason, you were going to say something?
Yeah, yeah. I was just going to say, like, I like that you brought the point of how they kind of felt that pressure from Marvel to just go, you know, full force in. Because you were right, the first, I want to say like the first film that kicked off that iteration of the DCU, the DCEU, was Man of Steel, and that came out in 2013. So that was right after.
Film, actually, it wasn't amazing, but like I thought it was a solid film. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, yeah, and I think it definitely did have solid parts, because I feel like the one that most people are in agreement with that was really cool was the last act of the movie with the fight scene with the invasion of Zod and his army.
Yeah. General Zod.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, gotta be respectful. Come on.
So, yeah, so I think they definitely have potential, but, you know, it's if they wanted to make if they wanted to go ahead and make a Batman film, I just think where they went wrong was your first Batman film is Batman versus Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, like you were saying, it just kind of put them, it created this schedule for them that kind of made things rush, because I will say there was one movie, or there were two movies in between the Justice League movie that I can think of off the top of my head. There was the Suicide Squad movie, the first one.
Absolute winner, yeah.
Yeah. That's a description for it.
Yo.
And then I think I feel like they got it right with this movie, but the first Wonder Woman movie that came out before the Justice League film, I thought that was a really enjoyable watch.
That was ball.
Yeah, I think most people agreed that I didn't see it, but based on like reviews and things like that, I think most people agreed the first Wonder Woman was a solid film. The second one, I don't think did as well. I don't think people enjoyed it as much.
No, yeah. I personally believe it was a pretty big drop off from the first and second film.
Massive cliff.
I think when the first movie came out, it was good to see, because it sort of created interest within the character of Wonder Woman, and maybe and you know, she's maybe not even Wonder Woman is definitely a very pivotal character within the DC universe, but I don't think she gets as much like catches the eye of a lot of just casual watchers as much as Batman and Superman, or even like Flash, Aquaman would.
Those are the heavy hitters as far as box office goes, right?
Absolutely. Batman,
Superman.
Exactly, the big ones.
Even the Flash, like, it doesn't stand up to them. He's a known character. And I think you kind of see that with the Flash movie, where, I mean, I get that they're going through like a transition period, but like they have to incorporate Superman and, or not Superman, Batman, and then Supergirl, I guess, is the character. So like they have to incorporate other characters into that film to try and sell it. You brought back General Zod in that one as well. You know, really bringing in all these other more popular characters to an extent, just to sell the Flash film. I also don't think it helps that I can't remember the actor's name, the guy that played the Flash, all of his issues going on outside of there as well.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I feel like for a time, that's kind of what prolonged the movie coming out. And it just kind of, and for then to sort of go ahead with actually releasing it, I feel like that sort of kind of created these super high expectations for people because they were thinking, well, with all this stuff going on, you know, outside of the movie, if they're still willing to put this out and go on a press tour for it, then it's got to be something amazing. And it just really, really missed the mark.
Yeah, I don't know. I was happy when they made The Batman with Robert Pattinson. I thought that was a solid film, and I liked it. It was more down to earth, grittier, which is what I expect of Batman, not Batman fighting like superhuman Kryptons in the middle of a wide open like area.
Yeah,
Batman, like, which is sort of what the problem I had with the third Christopher Nolan film too, Dark Knight Rises, where you have villains standing there with guns on the steps of the Capitol building or whatever, and then Batman's having a fist fight in the middle of the day. Kind of lost me at the end, but yeah, like the Batman film I thought was pretty cool. It's gritty, more down to earth, and I like that a lot, and I'm excited to see where they go with that. It's like DC like has winners, but man, they have a lot of misses. They need to just get things organized.
Absolutely.
And maybe they will. Maybe they will. Because what is it? The Batman comes out 2027?
They just announced that it got delayed to 2026, in October 2026.
That's diabolical. But I'm excited for that. I'll say I'm excited for the second Joker movie. I personally am not a fan of musicals, but I do like the Joker, so I'll watch that. What do you guys think of it?
Well, I mean, I enjoyed the first Joker movie. I think a lot of people did, and I feel like it's a they're really going left with this one, or for, you know, their sequel, because I don't think a lot of people, or you know, a lot of people behind the creation of like making a sequel to a successful movie would think to completely go in a different direction and making a musical. But from the details that I've seen, I'm really interested in on what it could be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, it's interesting. I don't know if I want another Joker in a Batman film. It seems to have been done plenty of times already. I'd like to see a different variety of characters make an appearance. I mean, I feel like that's one of the things Marvel's done right over the years, is taking lesser known characters and putting them in the spotlight. Like, you look at the Guardians of the Galaxy. I feel like most people probably had never heard of them before. And all of a sudden, their family names are, you know, everyone knows about them now. I'm trying to think of other ones, but I'm too out of touch. But yeah, like they take small characters, that like lesser known characters, and make them popular. You know, the Batman did that. They had the Riddler, and I mean the Penguin was in that to an extent, I think, as well. But you know, taking some, I mean, even Christopher Nolan had Scarecrow. He's I would call lesser known character. Not that he's unknown, but to a general audience, most people hadn't heard of him. Probably they know the Joker, like Poison Ivy, Mr. Freeze.
Speaking of Mr. Freeze, like, wouldn't that be nice? Like, if that was one of the villains in the Batman, one of the movies that they make.
It'd be interesting to see how they incorporate it in a way that's not ridiculous, like with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Making his puns every time.
Yeah, and I see a lot of people, it seems like that's what a lot of people would like for the second one, just because it would create that juxtaposition of in the first one, how there was like a theme of red within it. Like, there's a lot of shots that featured the color red, and then for this one, they would completely shift to tones of blue with Mr. Freeze and things like that.
No, that'd be pretty cool, actually.
But yeah, and I also agree. I With what you said about the Joker, I know they had that deleted scene, then the end scene in the Batman that featured the Joker. But mm-hmm. I think DC really shines whenever they aren't trying to sort of like think ahead, sort of like Marvel has done with like bringing in these characters to establish like a bigger story, but instead of focusing on just their specific story within that movie. And I think, and, you know, going back to the original topic, I think if the Batman Beyond animated movie were to catch on, I think it would do just that, because, you know, you're taking a popular character, but you're also sort of like showing the general audience an iteration that not everyone really would know about. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think this could be a very interesting, you know, film that could be made if it were to actually catch on and get greenlit. But we can only hope.
Yeah. No, I agree. Like, having a different iteration. Like I said, I think that's part of the issue sort of with Marvel right now, is not the character specific, but in general, like it's kind of gotten stale for some people, where it seems iterative, where it's just the same thing over and over again, just with different characters. And having a different take on some of the things. And I mean, look, how many times have we had the Spider-Man series start with, hey, here's how he turned into Spider-Man. Same thing with Batman. Oh, you know, his parents died in an alleyway. How many times have we seen that? And people complain every time a new film comes out. Like, are we going to get the backstory again? You know, it's... You don't need to start at the very beginning every time. You can pick up somewhere in the middle and just have a unique cast of characters to carry the film.
That's what I've been saying. Like, Spider-Man, like, we don't need to have that Uncle Ben thing all the time, even though that is part of the reasons why he is Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. We know now. By now, we know.
Yeah. I think that, and avoiding, one of the issues I have with the movies in general is the constant setup, where I feel it's part of why I felt like I watched a lot of the early Marvel stuff and I fell off hard, just because I don't like that every film and show is basically just a setup for the next thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, nothing seems like a self-encapsulated story. It's all, hey, here's the story we want to tell. But the overarching thing is just a build up to the next main, you know, film or the next series or whatever. Like, I don't like films that just serve as setups to something else. Like, they don't seem to be trying to make self-encapsulating films or shows. And that's kind of a turnoff for me. Like, I hope they do more things where it's just, here's this superhero doing their own thing, and that's all there is to it. Sure, it can fit into something else if we want later on, but just make something that's a standalone project.
That can stand on its own two feet. Because these movies, like, I'm not going to lie, I like the Marvel movies, like I said earlier. But sometimes, especially with these shows, like, I'm really going to have to shred these shows right now that they've done. Like, they feel like one of those dolls, you know, the Russian dolls that have
Matryoshka dolls fit inside themselves. Yeah.
Like those. That's what these shows, some of these shows and movies are like. Like, I got to call some out. I'm going to call out Moon Knight, number one. We're going to call out Miss Marvel. I like the show, but, like, damn, bro. Like, they really dragged it. And then a couple of others that were like, yo, oh, Secret Invasion. But that was like the fakest, like, doll ever, because there was nothing inside of it.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I haven't seen a lot of these because I got out of it. I was like, I just can't be bothered. But from the outside looking in, it's just so many of them where it's, hey, here's a spinoff show of this character. And then the entire show is them with other popular characters, like established characters. And the entire show is just about finding a way to tell a story while dragging their character into the main, you know, cinematic universe sort of a thing. You saw it with, what was it? The Book of Boba Fett, where that turned into the Mandalorian for like for a little bit there, where it's supposed to be his own show. And then he's not even the main character in his own show at a certain point. And Mandalorian show as well. Like the most recent season where he was on the back burner and it focused on the other Mandalorians.
Which I'm like, you know, like what that thing with the Mandalorian, like I feel like, okay, sometimes you can take some time away from the main character. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit. And in Book of Boba Fett, I'm not gonna lie, I'm gonna be so honest. Everyone was saying, because I'm one of those Star Wars people that like, I don't really think like everyone else. I don't really like Boba Fett like that, or I didn't really like him like that. But then the show came out, and I was like, okay, so we're going to see what everyone's been talking about. The show came, and I was like, yo, wait, I'm still not seeing it. That Mandalorian episode that he came in was my favorite one that they did in the whole series. And I was like, he should be doing more, or I was expecting more badass things from him, being as that he was Boba Fett, but I didn't really see it.
Yeah, just, I don't know. It's if it's good content, it's good content. I just find it strange. Like that's the format they go with, where you have a mini series about a single character, and then they're not even the main character in their own series at times. Like it's weird to me. Like I said, that's where I feel like Marvel has a lot of issues with a lot of their spinoff stuff.
Yeah. I mean,
look at Captain America, Civil War. Like, he's not the main character in that movie almost at a certain point. He definitely is, but how much of that movie is spent with all, like, the entire cast of the Avengers, essentially?
Yeah, an
Avengers film.
Yeah, I was literally going to say that movie was essentially an Avengers a film, but they couldn't really call it Avengers because I think the second Avengers movie had came out the year before.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, I have my own problems with that just because I feel like, it kind of brings me to a different point with that, with how some characters are taking a back seat to other storylines or other characters that are trying to introduce with the context of Civil War. If you think about it, I get that the movie was trying to be different for why they were creating the conflict between both sides of the superheroes. But I just feel like, first of all, it could have waited just because, you know, within the context of the comic, it was something that sort of needed a lot more time to build up instead of what we got. And it was just like, you know, like 10 superheroes fighting in an airport.
Yeah.
So it's just, and within with back to what you were saying with how he kind of took a backseat to the whole cast, I feel like a lot of these movies, they're so stuck on it being about one particular person instead of being willing to, you know, just make a movie that incorporates the entirety of the cast instead of, you know, just labeling it as a Captain America movie. Because it really wasn't.
Mm-hmm. I may be wrong. Maybe that was the third one. Because I think he had the Winter Soldier before that. Because if they're fighting Iron Man together. So it must have been the third one.
Yeah.
Again, who am I? I'm just some idiot over here who doesn't know what he's talking about. But yeah, like, I mean, the kind of getting back on topic, you know, with the Batman Beyond and comparing it to the Spider-Verse, like that's something they've been getting right. The Into the Spider-Verse, Across the Spider-Verse. The name for the third one was released, right?
This one's Beyond the Spider-Verse, the third one. Okay.
That's okay. What I was thinking of. Yeah. I mean, they've been doing that right. Like I said, those movies have been exceptionally well made, very well received. And even though those are not ensemble casts, but there's a lot more going on. It's not as self-contained. You're playing with the multiverse and things like that. But in general, the story is not overly convoluted, as we see with some of the other like Marvel-based properties where you're incorporating all these different characters from different properties in it just for the sake of connecting your universe. And it's, I don't know. I feel like they can stick with something more in that line. Just keeping it simple, making good films, as opposed to using them as a way to expand your marketing scheme.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You make great points, bro.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. But,
now,
go ahead.
Do you guys have any other comments, questions, concerns about Batman Beyond before we move on to the second topic?
I'd like to see it. I'm out of all the superheroes, Batman's probably my favorite because he's not as broken as some of them. Like, think of all the superpowers Superman had over the years, where he's like spins the earth the wrong direction by flying around it fast enough to turn back time. I mean, the Flash can like time travel essentially. Batman's like, the worst he can do is plan long enough in order to beat Superman, essentially. I like that it's more, not realistic, but it's easier to connect with him than some of the superheroes who make their problem is the entire universe is ending. That's relatable.
Yeah. It's more grounded.
Yeah.
Yeah, you feel like he has to live, like he has to actually live with the consequences of what happens within his films more than in Superman or Flash, with, like you said, they can just kind of reverse things and get a happy ending.
It's a lot smaller scale. Like Batman in general is always slightly smaller in scale. It's like, oh no, the city like is somewhat in danger. Whereas you look at some of the other films where it's like, we have to save the world. It's like, all right, how many times we got to save the world? Like,
yeah.
Like, we just stick to Metropolis or Gotham or New York. And in like the Avengers films, it's always New York.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, it's just such a grand scale. I mean, in the Marvel films, it's literally like the entire universe, every single film at this point, pretty much. How many times Thanos going to show up and snap half the universe out of existence? And you have, it hasn't happened lately, but it was Galactus or something showing up at some point, maybe, or something. I don't remember. Or the Eternals. They were fighting actual like Titans and stuff in that, I think.
Oh, mm-hmm. That was, yo, I gotta be
such large scale.
Yeah. It was not a good movie. But like you make a good point about how, you know, they keep going up and up and like kind of building this, like, I'm going to use Jenga, like a Jenga tower. They're building it too high.
Yeah. It becomes so high, like large scale, that it's just unbelievable. And I mean that in the truest sense, where it's like, what is even happening here? Like, you can't even wrap your head around the scale of it at a certain point, where it's just like, oh, this thing eats planets. You know, oh, this thing can literally just wipe out the universe. It's like, okay, it makes it harder and harder for it to make sense at a certain point, because you have guys like Hawkeye on the battlefield fighting literal like gods almost. It's like, this guy just has a bow and arrow. Let's calm down here. He's not really a threat to these things that are fighting like the god of lightning. You know, it's like, how do you bring all these characters in a realistic way? Realistic in air quotes, but how do you get them in a way where it's even somewhat believable? You know, it's like Dragon Ball Z, where that show, like, one of the issues they have where it's gotten ridiculous, not in a bad, I'm not using this as an example of like hating on that show at all, but like that show started out like early on where it's like, oh, his power, I mean, the meme, like he's over 9,000.
Yeah.
And then, you know, but like, that's a show where the power level just skyrockets. And it's the same thing happening with Marvel to a different extent, where it's like the power levels just get higher and higher to the point where some characters just can't be involved because it doesn't make any sense even within the universe.
It's like Super Saiyan 15, essentially. Yeah. That's what's over there.
Yeah, I'm not super familiar with the Dragon Ball universe. I know. Oh. I know you guys did an episode on him most recently. But like you have characters like Yamcha, I think is the character name, where it's like, how does he stay involved? Like
he stays on the sidelines where he belongs, bro. Okay.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. But it's like you have cast members where it's like they can't compete anymore. It's like, how do you keep these people, like these characters that people like, how do you keep them involved in the story in a meaningful way when they clearly can't have much of an impact because the power level is just insane?
Maceo, I feel like you had said something about this before.
With like keeping the like characters involved that really don't have a purpose being there.
Yeah, like or shine, any more shine.
I mean, yeah, I particularly wouldn't know how to handle that with like a specific character that's kind of experiencing that. And I feel like, you know, for example, with Marvel, like you were saying, kind of what business does Hawkeye have in like some of these scenarios? I just wouldn't know. It's kind of like, for example, with the Hawkeye series, you know, he gets his own series and you're kind of wondering like how they can sort of make him stand out with what we've seen with literally Thanos coming in, like you're saying, snapping away an entire or half the entire existence on Earth and things like that. And the only way that I can really think of is just kind of dumbing it down with it, which is sort of what they did within that series. And which is kind of what I believe people really want nowadays. I think people want these, you know, not even just Marvel, but different, you know, different entities that have kind of fallen victim to that. They want them to actually take a step back so we can, you know, see how kind of ground things after going years and years of just seeing these grand and epic battles all the time.
Yeah, it's interesting because it almost feels like, what's the point? You know, it's like you've been battling, you know, Thanos and all these other like spacefaring individuals, and all of a sudden it's like, all right, now let's take on some street thugs. It's like, are the stakes really high enough at a certain point? You know, it's like if he was able to compete against the legions of Thanos' army, how can he possibly struggle against random guys in the middle of the city that have guns and bats and stuff?
Yeah.
But anyway, we could probably move past the Batman Beyond topic. We've strayed so far from it anyway.
Oh, yeah. We're way in another field.
Yeah, different direction now. Was the top six video game characters that should get their own movies.
Oh, bro, do you want to start?
I can throw one out here.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say Fire Emblem. It's a series I'm a huge fan of. It's not a specific character, just in general. Yeah, just a Fire Emblem show. Or a movie or something. I don't know. I feel like it's a. They've got enough stories to go off of. I'm not sure how many games they're at this point, actually, because not all of them have even been translated to the US. But yeah, there's been a ton of great games, a lot of interesting, unique, pretty cool characters. They could easily develop the games into a show or a movie of some sort. Probably a show. It's easier since they're longer.
But. Yes.
Yeah, okay. I was gonna say it. I feel like a series would probably work best for it, especially just from what I've seen with the character design. I think you know. I think that's. You guys
have played the games much at all, if at all.
I haven't really touched the actual series. You know, my knowledge is just mainly from the many Fire Emblem characters they have in Smash. And keeping up with and keeping up with some of the releases, like some of the newer releases, but
how happy I was that the newer games did well. I was so excited. I'm like, it's coming back. We're making it, because I've been playing those since they first came to the US. I remember playing them on my Game Boy. I'm just like, oh, this is great. And then it just didn't sell very well at all for years. And then they started picking up again a couple games ago. Three Houses really took off like crazy. They implemented like rapport system where it's like, oh, you can sit down and have like conversations with them and stuff. And apparently people love that, which is not something I paid any attention to. But
yeah, that's the most recent one that I've heard of, the Three Houses.
They've had a variety of things since then, but yeah, that was one that really sold. Engage was the newest one, which was okay, but yeah. Then we have I don't know what it is with some of the better games and like just series in general, like books, anime. Like, I'm not a big anime guy, but man, some of the names they come up with for these are so cringe inducing. It's just so embarrassing, but at the same time, it's like, God, it's so good though. Like one of the games that came out recently was a Unicorn Overlord, which is like semi real time strategy. It's similar to Fire Emblem in ways, but it's more real time. It's fantastic. I'm really enjoying it. But man, the name, I'm like talking to people about, and they're like, that sounds stupid as shit.
Bro, they be putting the names together in a box and just shake the box.
Yeah, exactly. There's an anime which I've seen the show, but I'm more interested in the light novels, which are pretty darn good. It's called Danmachi, but the translation is it wrong to try and pick up girls in a dungeon? I'm like, God damn it! Like,
what?
It is impossible to convince people to pay any attention to this because it's the stupidest freaking name I've ever heard of. But then I'm like, but has not, like, the actual story is not about that, really. Like, it's just, it's infuriating. I'm like, please stop giving these things stupid ass names so people will actually pay more attention to it.
It's so funny that you mentioned that, because I used to think, well, because every time I pass that anime, I'm like, yo, who the hell named it this? Like, this, it looks ridiculous. But yeah, you're saying it's good?
Unbelievably stupid name. Absolutely. The anime is all right. It's not bad, but it's too much fan service at times, and I don't care for it. I read the books. The books are infinitely better. It's a lot more character development, less fan service stuff. It's just, I don't know. Just annoying. I hate doing that when people ask me, like, what are you watching? What are you playing? I'm just like, all right. All right, so listen, I have to like lay out the whole spiel to convince them it's not the stupidest shit they've ever heard of. But yeah. Anyway, Fire Emblem was one of mine for just video games in general that should get movies.
Okay. One of ours was Donkey Kong.
Introduced in the Mario film.
Yup, that one. He most definitely needs a movie. Seth Rogen did a good. Was it Seth Rogen who voiced him?
I think so.
Yeah, it was Seth Rogen.
Okay, good, because sometimes I get the actors mixed up. Bro, he did a really, really good job with Donkey Kong. I could sit and watch that for like a 2-hour movie. I really feel like I could. If they have another Mario Kart racing scene, and they do another depiction of the Donkey Kong game, because that was cool. They need to keep doing that. What do you guys think?
I can absolutely see them doing something like that. I mean, Nintendo's really diving into the film side of things. I know they're doing a Legend of Zelda film at some point. I know they're in the process of casting that, I think.
As they should.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. I mean, they have... Nintendo is one of those studio publishers, I guess, where they have been so consistent over the years. Like, everything they put out, like, of their main series, Mario, Zelda, I'm trying to think of other ones. Those two in particular, it's just hit after hit. Every Mario game that comes out is just incredibly polished. Really, it's fun to play, really well made. Some of the spinoffs aren't amazing. Mario Strikers, which is the soccer one, I was super excited about that because I'm a big football guy. And
are you?
Yeah, I like the game, but there was not a whole lot to it, which was disappointing considering how the other ones were fleshed out. Like Mario Golf had its own like adventure mode. So did the Mario Tennis, or I think it's maybe it's just called Mario Tennis, not Mario Aces. I think I'm getting confused. But like they all had like single player like adventure modes, and then I'm like, cool, I can't wait to see Mario Strikers. And it came out, it's like, yeah, we got a couple of maps you can play on, handful of characters, just whatever. And it was just like this half-assed game. I was like, that's what I'm hyped for.
That's all that was there. Now, yeah. You said you were a soccer fan?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Do you support a team?
I do. I had a great weekend. I'm just getting into the MLS a little bit.
Yeah.
I have long talked down on the MLS, and I continue to do so because there's a lot of issues with it still.
Oh, but I see.
I'm in Central PA, so I every once in a while I tune in, catch a Philadelphia Union game. I'm on the fence about buying season tickets, but it's like 2.5 hours away, so I don't know that's worth the investment really, because it's just too far to make a trip out of for a day.
Exactly.
I'm a big Barcelona fan though, so I've been watching Miami since half of our former players are down there at this point, it seems. So watch them. I'm AS Roma, big Roma fan as well. So Roma and Barcelona are my teams, but I'm getting more familiarized with the MLS.
Oh, we see you. Like those are some teams. I'm not gonna lie to you. Barcelona's in the mud right now.
Done. It's been a rough time.
It's
not been great. Hey, we won today, 3-0 over Atletico Madrid though. Happy, solid game.
Oh, that's good.
Making
our
way through the Champions League. It's not going to end well. They play Paris Saint-Germain in the next round. And it's going to be a bloodbath.
It looks like Mbappe is going to have
a... I see that going well.
He's going to have a lot of fun. Like,
yeah, I see it going downhill from here as well with all the financial issues. And then Real Madrid are just collecting trophy players.
Absolutely collecting.
Diamonds, bro. Diamonds they're collecting. Like, it's imagine insane. If they get Osimhen in addition to Mbappe. Yeah. They better wrap the Champions League up and just give it to them.
I think they're going to have Alfonso Davies as well.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, that was supposed to be Chelsea. Now they're done. it's whatever. Yeah. Like,
I dislike Real Madrid being a Barcelona fan, but my God, they've been unbelievably well managed and maintained as a club. It's insane. They haven't had many duds. They had Gareth Bale, who did well enough for him. I wouldn't say he was a fail. He did well enough. Wasn't as big a success as they wanted. Eden Hazard, obviously, I think is the main one that definitely didn't live up to expectations as much.
We robbed
them. Other than those two, you've had some players that didn't quite do as well, but no real busts because they didn't invest a ton of money in like huge amounts of money in other players necessarily. But I mean, they've just been killing it, and they're just going to get better and better.
It's insane. Like, they've just made their own, and I don't want to like turn this into a soccer chat. So like, you know, I'm just going to make
the audience can listen to it for all I care. This is my show.
Oh, good. All right, bro. Like, literally, oh my goodness. They're just replacing their already like world class midfield with another one right behind them. Did you know? Like, oh no, these guys, Tchouaméni, Camavinga, Valverde, these guys, they know ball. This is ball that they're playing.
The only thing we have going for us at Barcelona is La Masia. Like, all these youngsters coming up have been absolutely killing it. Unfortunately, with all the injuries to the main squad and the starters and things like that, they've been playing the youngsters so much that they've been getting injured and worn out and running to the ground. It's such a stark contrast between Madrid and Barcelona, how they've been managing their team. It's a disaster class.
Bro, I'm saying, and the way it's looking, it's like Madrid, they're looking to take over for a long time while you guys are like I said, in the mud. Like, this is wild.
It's disgusting. But like I said, the shining thing for us now is the fact that we have so much young talent. Like, last week, I think we had three starters that were 17 and under. Like, today, there were two 17-year-olds starting. Lamine Yamal came on. He's 16. Maybe we had three 17. I don't know how old Fermin Lopez is. He might be 18. He's an old man by comparison to some of the other
kids there.
But they have so many young players coming up that have just done exceptionally well. They have players coming on where it's like, oh, let's just throw this guy in as a defender. Yeah, he's spectacular. He's doing exceptionally well. He's 17 years old. Why not? They have a lot of young talent coming up. I just hope they don't run him into the ground and injure him like they have with previous players.
Oh, like, what was that kid's name that plays at Brighton now? Ansu Fati?
Ansu Fati plays at Brighton. Yeah, he was hit or miss. He got injured. They played him too much. He got injured. Put him out on loan for right now. I don't really know how well he's doing, to be honest. I know Brighton just played Roma and got stomped. He came on as a substitute, so I don't know if he was injured or just wasn't doing super well with them.
I think it's a mixture of both. Like, I was surprised when they got him. I didn't know that it was going so badly for him. Not even so badly, because Brighton's not a bad team at all, but like, so, this is not where he would want to be.
It's just middling.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, they sent him out, brought Lamine Yamal up. They're like, oh, everyone's injured. Let's bring up this. He was 15 at the time. Bro, this is 15-year-old. He's just killing it. He's just running circles around people out there. I'm like, this is awesome, but please don't run him into the ground and have him get injured and ruin his career.
Exactly. Like, this is good for them. I'm not going to lie. Good for them.
It's actually insane how many young players they have that are just sensationally talented. It's amazing. That being said, it's amazing how many injured players they have that are normally starters that they've had to replace with 15, 16, and 17-year-olds.
And those kids are a good job.
They've done better as the season's gone on with the more young players they bring up. The season's taking an upturn. They've, performed better in the league. I think they're at 10 or 11 games in a row unbeaten at this point now.
They're killing it.
They've done better defensively. They just look better in general. And obviously they beat Napoli in the Champions League to move forward. Napoli having their own struggles, to say the least. They're probably the only team that was in the Champions League that Barcelona could beat, to be fair.
Who is on Napoli again? It's Osimhen. Osimhen. That other, the winger. I forget his name. But they're pretty solid.
They had Osimhen, Raspadori, Kvaratskhelia,
Politano. Oh, yeah, him!
Okay. Good play. I was checking. They played Inter, who are arguably one of the best teams in the world right now. Inter is just crushing it in Serie A. They're way ahead. They're 14 points ahead right now over second place, Milan. So Inter is killing it. And they just drew 1-1 with Napoli today, which is hilarious because Napoli has been struggling, even though they're in seventh. They've been struggling. They're in seventh place, which isn't awful, but
that's not what they're trying to be. They're trying to be winning.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, considering they won the league last year and now they're in seventh, I would say that they're struggling by comparison. They won the league by 16 points last year. Now you look at this year and they are 31 points out of first place. And they're in seventh place.
Yeah, no, they're finished. I mean, some people on that team are waiting to go somewhere else, it seems like. That's where my mind is.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Roma climbing up. They're up into fifth place now, 3 points out of a Champions League spot, making our way back.
I know. They're fighting for it. They're definitely fighting for it.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yes.
Good football talk. right in the middle of video game characters.
We have to dive on in. Now, bro, do you have another character? Because I know we just discussed Donkey Kong. Audience, we're sorry. Like, you came here for some video games and we talked to you about some ball. But, like, yes, we just talked about Donkey Kong. Like, do you have any more characters?
I was going to say, again, not a specific character, but, like, Mass Effect might be a good film. Doesn't have to be related to the game specifically, maybe. But I think Mass Effect would be interesting because it's already somewhat cinematic as a game. It's just a space film. It's basically Star Trek / Star Wars. More Star Trek than Star Wars, I think. Star Trek is more scientific, methodical, I guess you could say, where Star Wars is random people in space throwing lasers around.
Mystic. But,
But Mass Effect, I could see being very similar in theme to Star Trek, and especially the more recent ones with Chris Pine. I get the Chris is confused. I think Chris Pine. Probably pretty similar, though, in theme to those. I could see that doing fairly well.
Okay. And Maceo, I know you have one for us.
Yeah, so I know you had brought it up earlier, but I feel that a Zelda movie definitely for sure deserves a film. I don't think I know you said that they're working on doing it, but I think that one's like a live action one. I feel like a Legend of Zelda. Yeah, I feel like a Legend of Zelda movie would do better as an animated film. And you know, like you were saying, with when it comes to Nintendo, they kind of have, with the way that they've, you know, create like what they've done with their IPs, with how their games for like their big heavy hitters have done well. When it comes to Zelda, like, there's so many games in that franchise. Like, if you wanted to, you have the blueprint for it. And you can just choose anyone from the timeline. Like I don't know if you're familiar with how the timeline works, but I want to say the first one within it now is Skyward Sword. You could start from the very first one. You could go with like the most popular one that people think of. You can do Ocarina of Time. One of my favorites is A Link to the Past. You can go with that story. I feel like people would be interested in the Twilight Princess story. You know, I there definitely would be a certain demographic that would love to see Link as a wolf.
I agree. I didn't realize it was live action at first, and then I remember reading about it, and I was like, oh, it seemed almost counterintuitive. Like, I feel like, especially for Nintendo, like, you kind of lean into the cartoony, like, cuteness factor, so to speak.
Yeah.
Like Mario, those games already, like, that film looked just like the current games. Like, it looked like they just dragged the characters over into a film, essentially. I feel like you could do that with a lot of the Zelda games. Not necessarily like, the newest ones, like Breath of the Wild and stuff. Like, what is it I'm thinking of? I can't even remember.
The newest one that I can think of outside of those, the Breath of the Wild games, is Link's Awakening. I know they remade that one, and the style of it would definitely, you know, translate over into a
Wind Waker film. I was thinking of
Wind Waker.
Like, that's a more cartoony. I feel like, especially with the Nintendo films, you have to target the younger audience because it's just such a massive group. And
oh, for sure.
No, absolutely.
It's a big market.
Yeah. What was the other? Oh, I was going to say Metal Gear Solid as well. Solid Snake.
Hey.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I feel like that's another one where it's like, it's a big enough audience, especially it's one where I don't know that you lean into some of the more ridiculous elements right out the gate in the first film. But like you maintain it, you keep the general feel of the games, but make it a little bit more accessible, which I kind of don't. Like I said, it you have to find the middle ground, because I definitely don't like the idea of what they've done with some things like Halo, for example. I don't know if you guys have seen any of the series. Like, that's one where they definitely took it and were deciding, yeah, we're going to do our own thing, and just basically use the outline of Halo as a reference point, but then not stick with it really at all.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely did their own thing with that show.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like with the Metal Gear Solid series, that, you know, it would benefit them in certain aspects, just because of it. I know it would definitely confuse a lot of people if like a big focus of like the storyline was the different snakes, because from what I know there's like three different snakes.
Yeah, I've never played all of them, and it's too confusing for me to get caught up in the story. So I'm just like, I'm just going to play it just for the heck of it. Not focus.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know the last one, the Phantom Pain, that one makes it even more confusing. So, but I definitely do think even you can go with, you know, like a storyline loosely based on the first Metal Gear Solid, or even if you want to go back a little bit more and just do regular Metal Gear. I definitely think that would be an interesting series to adapt. I almost feel like it would be, I think it would be along the lines of the Uncharted movie, but I think it would get a lot more interest, just because of like the concept of Metal Gear is a lot more interesting than, or it could be interesting, a lot more interesting to people than, you know, them sort of, you know, going to look for treasure.
Yeah. Yeah. Mentioning Uncharted, we were talking about this yesterday as well, about how Nathan Fillion had done, he's the lead actor in Firefly, and he's a huge fan of the Uncharted series. He was also Buck in Halo 3 ODST, and I think he shows up in the later Halo games. I don't remember. But he was a big fan of the Uncharted games, really wanted to play Nathan Drake, did a very short fan film. It was like 15, 20 minutes long. You can find it on YouTube. And he was really excited. He wanted to be a part of it. And then they cast Tom Holland and Mark Wahlberg instead. And the movie obviously didn't do super well. I wonder how that film would have done if Nathan Fillion had been the lead in that, and if they had stuck more to like the game, you know, plot line instead of doing what they did.
You go ahead, bro. You go ahead.
Oh no, I was just gonna say, yeah, even you know, I feel like he even has the look Drake a lot more than Tom Holland does. And to have someone that, not to say that Tom Holland and Mark Wahlberg don't have like a passion or interest for the Uncharted series, I feel like, you know, having someone that's, you know, visibly showing a lot more passion for it, it could result in or give you better results. But it makes sense for why they went with Tom Holland as Nathan Drake. Yeah. Exactly.
Tom Holland, you said, obviously super popular right now, the Spider-Man in particular. That's what he's most known for.
Yeah, and he's already got Sony ties, so.
Yeah, no, it made sense why they went with them, but at the same time, too, I'm like, you know, if you want to revisit this at a later point, maybe go with the guy that's obviously super interested, has the backing of the community already. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, fans of the game series know he's interested in it. They're going to back the guy that's hugely invested in it and is dedicated to keeping it like the games. And I don't. It's one of the frustrating things as a fan of certain things, watching IPs be adapted to the stories that the writers want to tell instead of the stories that the audience wants to see.
Mm-hmm.
And I get at a certain point, you have to take liberties too, but at a certain point, it's like, if you have people here lining up to give you money and you tell them, hey, we made something that you weren't asking for instead, it seems like a dumb business idea. Look what The Last of Us did. They basically adapted that one for one to an extent. Obviously, they took liberties. There's some issues with it. People were upset there weren't as many infected in that as in the games. But I think overall, people were really pleased with how well they adapted it. And one of the big changes was the entire episode where it wasn't even involving the main cast. It was just adding more background to it between the two characters. With Bill I forget the other guy's name, actually. I don't remember.
I forget his name, too. Like, I will Bill say...
Frank. That's what I was thinking. I couldn't remember Frank's name. But solid episode. Had nothing to do with anything, really, for the most part. It was just backstory, and it just added character and emotion to the world. But that's one of people's favorite episodes, unless you're part of a certain demographic, I suppose. No, like that was the show that they said, hey, we're just taking what people already like and putting it on into a film format, TV format. I think it helps having one of the main guys behind the games directing the show as well, or not directing, but like producing the show.
Yes. And like, also I wanted to point out another thing I did like about the show. This is just a small thing, but how they did their cameos from the people that voiced the characters in the games. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. And they didn't beat you over the head with it either. Or hey, make a big deal out of this. It's like, here they are. They're just here. They're just part of it. That's all there is to it.
Which is really cool. Yeah.
I hope they do something similar with the Fallout series. I think that comes out next month. I'm really excited for it, and I hope it doesn't fall flat on its face.
Looks so good.
Yeah, it's another series, a game series that I love. I've played a ton of. I'm really excited for that.
War was great.
Yeah, like Borderlands, that's one they're making a movie out of that I'm already super disappointed in because I think the casting was way off.
Go ahead.
They have Roland, who is a large like soldier, essentially big, like strong soldier. They cast Kevin Hart in that role, and I was like, oh, well, that's already bad casting. We were talking about this yesterday. My part-time co-host, Klaus, and I, neither of us dislikes Kevin Hart, but at the same time, he's not good casting in it. And like, I don't like him in most of the stuff he does because he's always playing the same character. It's just himself, like the character of himself, where I'm like, that's not who that character is. And then they cast Kate Blanchett as Lilith. And it's just very bizarre in general. The casting is all over the place. Jack Black plays Claptrap. And I like Jack Black, but I was like, just bring the voice actor in for Claptrap. It's like,
and that would have been a great idea. But I guess they were trying to go for their own thing.
I guess. Yeah, I don't know. I can see it doing poorly. Unfortunately,
no. When it comes out on streaming, I'll be there.
I'm definitely gonna give it a shot. I'm frustrated because once again, like I said, the casting is a little odd, and then they mix and matched a lot of the characters where they have like bandits and stuff working with the main characters and characters from different periods of the games all in the same time. It's just kind of odd. Makes me wonder what their plan is with it. So we'll see. It's too early to say. I'm not going to shit talk or anything, but my expectations were dropped a little bit, especially considering I didn't realize they were making a movie out of it until I saw the trailer and was like, oh, this is a thing that's happening. Okay.
It was a surprise to us all. Well, not to us all. I'm sure some people knew.
Yeah. Like the Red Dead Redemption. Not Red Dead Redemption, but just the Red Dead games. You could probably make something out of that, a Western style film or something. I feel like that'd be kind of just a Western film in general, essentially.
Yeah, it would be. It would just be a Western film.
Yeah. And then the only other one I had written down was Bioshock. Could be interesting. I don't know how well they do with that, but it's an interesting series that I feel like I'd be curious as to how they do a take on it.
Yeah, that would actually be really interesting. I feel like if they do that well, that could really be not a classic, but like pretty good. Mm-hmm. Pretty good.
Yeah. Those are my options. I ran out of them.
Okay. Well, our last one was Crash Bandicoot, which you also mentioned at the beginning. I just think that would be so... That was a personal one of mine. I just think that would be really, like, cool to see. Like, even maybe a show. Even maybe a show. I feel like would be really cool to see Crash Bandicoot just doing whatever it is that he does in his free time or something like that.
They were... I think they did make a show at one point. It got canceled, like, almost immediately. Like, an animated show.
That's actually so tough. We're about to discuss what's it called? One of our favorite TV shows that was canceled before it was supposed to end. That's literally our next thing.
It is.
Did you guys have anything else to add to this video game discussion before we move on?
No, just I think you know, it's cool to see that that sort of they're starting to figure it out with how they can adapt video game series into movies and TV shows. So it's kind of because you know they've definitely had a lot of failures before they had some successes.
I think they're finding out that the easiest way to make successful video game-based shows and movies is to just pay on, like, make it as, you know, well connected to the original source material as possible, be as faithful as possible. Mm-hmm. You have that built-in audience already. You know, they just want to see it on the big screen.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like Arcane. Yeah. Well, that's no, not the big screen, but I feel like that also works for this.
Yeah. I mean, people were excited for Halo because if you remember, I don't remember what year it came out in. Neil Blomkamp, the guy that directed District 9, Chappie, Elysium, he had made a Halo like short film like 10, 15 years, probably more than 15 years ago, but like 15, 20 years ago at this point, made a Halo short film. You can find it on YouTube and it's incredible. And people are like, oh man, this is what the show could be like. And the show has not lived up to that at all.
Yeah, it's not been doing its best.
Yeah, it's Halo Landfall. That's what it was called.
It's oh.
7 minutes long. It's incredible. And the Halo show has not lived up to that. It came out 13 years ago, but... Yeah, 13 years ago. Good grief. Unbelievable.
I think they're trying to make up for that first season. They're really trying.
They're trying. I've not watched season 2 yet.
Understandable. Me either.
I've not heard great things from anyone.
Damn, so they tried and failed again.
Yeah. Well, I think the problem is, again, they're trying to do something. They're trying to create their own story while utilizing the Halo IP. And that's not what people want. They don't want a unique story. They don't want somebody else coming and be like, here's our story, but we're going to call it Halo. We're going to tie it as loosely as possible to the thing you're interested in. They're like, hey, no, we just want to see the Halo games translated into film / TV, whatever. I don't know. I complain too much about it.
No, that's understandable, bro. Like, sometimes these studios be going crazy. Like, you know, studios. We're not going to mention them today. But, like, yes. We did want to move on to picking one of our favorite TV shows that was canceled before it was supposed to end.
Easy. Now, Game of Thrones ended after 5 seasons. Never wrapped it up. So disappointed. That's the universe I choose to live in.
Yo, you came in with the fire, bro. Like, you feel a way about this one. I can tell.
Ugh. I'm a big fan of the books, and I was excited. So I can look over. I have one of my bookshelves here in the office. I have the complete series. Obviously, it's not finished, but I have all the actual books. I have all of the spin-off books, all the materials and things like that. I have everything A Song of Ice and Fire related, everything. And I was so excited when they started adapting it into a show. I was there for it, watching it every week, watching all the behind the scenes content, everything like that.
Yeah.
And then apparently in an alternate universe, they made the final few seasons. I refuse to live in that reality where that happened. I just choose to believe that it was ended prematurely. And the showrunners were rocketed off into the sun. That's my happy universe.
Nah, we see your universe, bro. Like, you want the smoke, definitely.
In all seriousness, though, it's a huge disappointment that it ended the way it did. And I think they really took the coward's way out of not wanting anyone to step in and finish the show for them and getting credit. Then choosing not to do any press conferences or anything like that. They wanted to wrap up, go on to do a Star Wars project. That fell through, so it made them look even dumber. And now they're on to, I think they had a second project fall through as well, but now they're on to do a Three Body Problem, which we'll see what happens with that. But yeah, I think they're giant fucking cowards. They didn't want anyone else to get credit for something they worked on, and then they put it down the drain just so they could go off to try and make more money on Star Wars. Selfish.
That's tough. That's so tough.
Yeah.
I didn't know any of that. Well, thank you for that. Yeah. Now, Maceo, bro, do you have a show that was canceled before it was supposed to end that you wanted to share with the audience, bro?
Do I? So, the series that I chose is Spider-Man, the new animated series. So, this was a animated series. They call it the new animated series because the first animated series was the one that came out in the 90s. So, this one... It originally was going to be a series based off of the Ultimate Comics, because the Ultimate Comics had started to pick up in popularity around the time it came out. But as they were sort of like, in the process of creating it, the first Sam Raimi Spider-Man film comes out. And because of how popular it was, they completely shifted, the concept of what the show was supposed to be. And it becomes like a loose continuation of what happens after the first Spider-Man film.
Interesting.
And it follows Peter, Mary Jane, and Harry, and they're in college. And he's just going through, different Spider-Man things. And I thought it was really good just because I feel like a lot of people, they don't really like, they see it and they don't really like the style that it was animated in. But I think it's kind of charming. And, for the time that it came out, I think like it looks good for the time, because I'm pretty sure the show was released in like 2003. So, it also brought into the spotlight a lot of characters that didn't that don't really get talked about within the Spider-Man universe. And they even had some characters that they created for the series that I think were pretty cool and pretty interesting. Like there was one villain that he went against who was like an immortal samurai almost. Yeah, but the series, it only ever got one season, and it ended on a really big cliffhanger, and it was canceled after that. And it's just, when you watch it and you see the cliffhanger that it ends on, it's kind of sad to look back and see that once you finish that last episode, that, like, this is really how it ends almost for Peter Parker or Spider-Man. And I know there were some people that tried to pick up some steam a couple years ago or like try to gain some traction on like maybe bringing it back so it could get another season. But I doubt it happens. So, you know, like you said, in a perfect world, I feel like that storyline gets continued. And I'm extremely content with it. But it's, you know, it's really unfortunate because I thought it was a good adaptation. Surprising, Neil Patrick Harris is the voice of Spider-Man in that series.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying about the animation style. It is a bit jarring.
Mm-hmm.
I can see how people would be put off by it a little bit.
Yeah, but I feel like for me, just I don't really pay attention to it just because of the fact of I watched it as it was coming out growing up. So I've got like a nostalgic attachment to it.
That's fair enough. It's like when people complain about video game graphics and how they can't play a game because it's only in 30 frames per second. I'm like, it's just.
Oh, my goodness.
It's just whatever. Just enjoy it.
Like, really, bro. Like, we get it. Come on.
But yeah, that's my pick.
All right. All right. Thank you, bro. Now, mine is because I did say this like in a previous episode. I am not a big Tron fan. I'm a Tron fan on the side. That's what I am.
Okay.
The show that I want them to bring back, Disney in general to bring back, is Tron Uprising. Like, and I don't know if you guys have heard about this, but you know, just in case the audience hasn't heard, like, it was essentially about a regular program, or I guess person, that was training to become the next Tron. And I think Daft Punk also had like a cameo in the show at least once, I think.
Interesting.
Yes, and they canceled it. Sometimes, like, I when I first found this out, I was just really mad at the world. But they canceled it because, like, not a lot of people were watching it. I was watching it like, yo, guys, like, this is actually ball that they're playing over here. Let's watch this show so they don't cancel it. They canceled it. I was like, damn, bro, like, we could have done better. This show deserved better.
You had an interesting cast. You had Donald Faison. You got Kate Mara was in it. Aaron Paul.
Oh,
Lance Kate Reddick. Olivia Wilde. David Arquette.
Got oh, slay. Yeah. They brought everyone there.
Yeah, 19 episodes.
That's tough. It deserved more. That's my opinion, though. That's my opinion. It deserved more.
Fair enough. Yeah. No, it's like Netflix. How many shows on Netflix get one season? It's like canceled. We don't care.
And they just throw it out in the garbage. People care about that. Netflix's whole
model is based around that, bringing in shows for one season because it's just enough to get people's attention. And then they don't want to spend the money on paying actors to come back for a second season because they'll have to pay them more. So yeah, they cancel after one season, and then they'll have them start new shows from scratch and be like, cool, bring in new audience, new viewership with this new show. We're probably going to cancel it after one season because we don't want to pay people.
No, that's crazy. I know they'll be happy when they're done with Stranger Things then.
Yeah, I mean, we have a family plan. I don't even know whose account it is at this point. It's my girlfriend or mom's or brother's son. I don't know. I don't pay for it. Can't be bothered. I don't pay for most streaming services, though, to be fair.
Understandable.
Don't know. But going back outside of Game of Thrones, which was more of a joke answer, the series I was going to say was Mindhunter, is the show that was canceled that I wish they had continued to make.
Oh, yeah. So what is that? What is that?
So like, the Mindhunter is a live action. It's the FBI, and it's about them coming up with like they're developing serial killer profiling. So they're sitting down and talking to people, like criminals that they've caught, and getting into their head and being like, all right, how do these people think? And it's how they come up. It's literally them coming up with the term serial killer. And like, these are people that have gone and like killed groups of people, like figuring out what is the you know, what is the point of comparison between each killing? Like, oh, this person always, you know, does this with their, like, they always target women in this age range, or this person's always targeting, you know, men in this age range, or like gay people, whatever. Like, how do they figure out how serial killers think? And it was about that. And it was just, season one was like slower and it was them just laying the groundwork. Whereas season two, I think they got two seasons. I can't remember. It all runs together in my head. But I think season two is when they really get the ball rolling. They're like, all right, we're, you know, these are serial killers. And they laid the groundwork for, I forget which serial killer it was, but it's like, there was one serial killer in particular who was like in the background of season one. Season two was starting to come more to the forefront. And they were going to, season three was essentially going to be, hey, we're going to start to track this guy. And it's them sitting down talking to like Ted Bundy, Charles Manson and stuff. And it's like getting into their minds and trying to figure out how they work. It was super interesting. It wasn't like a, you know, action oriented. It was more methodical thriller style. It was kind of interesting, but got canceled as it was Netflix. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, I looked it up and it was literally an example of what you were just saying about Netflix only putting out like one or two seasons and then just shelving it.
Yeah. Yeah. It, unless it's the most popular show they've ever made, they cancel it basically. Yeah. Disappointing. I don't know. But yeah, that's my actual example.
Oh, thank you for that example, bro. Thank you for that example.
Thank you. But yeah, no, that's all I had. I don't have a different example. I'm too out of touch with TV and movies at this point. I spend too much time working.
Understandable, bro. Understandable.
But yeah, that's what I had. I don't know if there's any other topics you guys actually want to cover before.
No. Like that was it. That was definitely it.
Fair. I will ask two questions essentially. One, what is a show you guys are currently watching that you would recommend?
Bro, you put me on the spot, but I got maybe like two. I'll give you one. Okay. So I was gonna say something, but like I'll say Shogun?
On FX. I'm getting ready to watch that. I'm just waiting for the whole series to be out. I think it's only 8 or 10 episodes, I forget which, but it's a limited series, so I'm just going to binge watch it when it's all wrapped up.
Oh, definitely do, bro. It's going crazy right now.
How many episodes are out? Do you know?
Four? I think, yeah, something like four.
Nice.
A show that I'd recommend watching is, I'm kind of going back and watching it since it just ended, I want to say, sometime last year, but the series Barry on Max.
Yeah. Oh, it's a great show.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And
that one has three seasons? Four seasons?
I think it has four.
I don't know. It didn't overstay its welcome though, which I appreciate.
Yeah, and I like the fact that four seasons, sort of like like you were saying, whenever I started watching it, it was literally right as the series was about to end. So I'm kind of able to just binge it.
Yeah, no, that was a good series. We didn't watch it as it came out until the last season. It was just something that flew under my radar. I wasn't really aware. I knew it was a thing, but I was like, I don't know much about it. And then I saw a couple clips online. I was like, all right, we'll give it a shot, and really enjoyed it. That was a show that the tone of it really shifts over time to an extent, at various points, not all like overall necessarily, but yeah, no, that's a fantastic show. It's kind of came out of nowhere, especially considering the cast.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you know, Bill Hader does not, give me the vibe of assassin for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he kills it. It's fantastic.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And I think, and that was kind of the aspect of it that made me interested in it in the first place, just because, you know, I would always see like stills and of it and just wonder what it was about. I thought it was like a, like a super serious drama almost. And then I read that it was about like the description that I gave on Max was that he was an assassin who pursues his dream of being an actor. So then just reading that, that made me interested in watching it. And like you said, he kills it in the role. I think, you know, he does great.
It doesn't sound like it. How far into the show are you, or did you finish it?
No, I haven't finished it yet. I'm just now like starting the second season, so I still got a little bit to go.
Yeah, I'm not going to spoil anything for you, but yeah, by season four, there's a point in it where I got very confused for a little bit, is all I'll say. I was just like, huh, I wasn't sure what was going on. But, yeah, it's a solid show. It's a very good show.
Yeah, so far it is definitely.
Fun. The other question I was going to ask you is if you guys game at all, like what games you guys are playing currently?
Oh, bro. Like, yes, I definitely do game, like, or not as much as I used to. Let me not say that. But right now, I'm really into that Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. So I'm making my way through that.
Yeah, and that was a good one. I played through that when it came out. Fantastic.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, you can finish your point.
I was like, isn't it like that game is so ball? Like, I really had, and now I don't know why, but like, I had this thing of like, yo, I don't really want to get this game because, like, what if I actually don't like it? Then I had to be the only one that doesn't like it. But no, it is good. I'm not even close to finish with it. It is good.
Even from a technical standpoint, it's actually astounding how they managed to make it work. Like all of the physics and everything like that of combining different materials and just having it, you can just make basically anything. Just have it function exactly how you expect it would. It's astounding how well they got it to work without impacting the gameplay in like frame rate or stability. Like just, it works so well.
No, it most definitely does.
Maybe someday Nintendo will have a modern console that actually runs in high definition and we'll be able to enjoy it.
Oh, that's like on par with something like that Sony or Microsoft put out?
Yeah.
With the generation that we're actually in or console-wise.
I said earlier, like, it shouldn't matter the graphics-wise, and like, it really doesn't. I enjoyed Nintendo games so much anyway. But at the same time, like, really? You're not even going to make an attempt at like a modern HD console.
Like they definitely can. They know how to.
Yeah, it's just it's whatever. Their games are solid. It doesn't make too much of a difference.
They are good.
Yeah. Maisie, you got anything you're playing?
Oh yeah. So, like, I'm a gamer as well, but recently I kind of been going back and for some reason I've been really into just playing like different platformers. So I've been going back trying to like 100% like a bunch of different like Mario games on the Switch. I think the most recent one that I did was the 3D World port. Went back and 100% of that, and I'm a big Sonic fan, so been playing a lot of that, Mania specifically.
What are your thoughts on that newest Sonic game, Frontiers? If you played that at all.
Frontiers? I think it definitely looks interesting. I actually haven't had a chance to get around to that one yet, but I just think it's interesting from the standpoint of that it's open world, and I can't really, you know, there really hasn't been a Sonic game that's been open world like that outside of like a hub world and like Sonic Adventure or Sonic 06, things like that.
Yeah.
But
I was very confused by it. I'm not a big Sonic guy at all, really. Mm-hmm. And I saw that come out and people were talking smack on it. And I was like, all right. So while I was working, I had some gameplay up on a different monitor. Mm-hmm. I couldn't tell you what was going on. It just looked like the guy was running around a giant open world. And
yeah,
it confused the hell out of me. I was like, is there something going on here story wise or anything?
Yeah, and it looks like and it looks like a lot of like the bosses or different enemies are like these giant colossal titan like characters.
Yeah.
So in that Sonic in that Boom. Aspect
Sonic Boom was a classic.
Oh.
that was one of the more broken game launches of that time. It's probably the most broken game launch at that time. That was a rushed mess.
Yeah, that really set back like the image that people have for Sonic games, just because, and even for me, I was afraid to touch a Sonic game if it wasn't a classic style type game, just because
you could play as Knuckles and you could jump up in there, hit pause and unpause it and jump again, and you can get an infinite level of height.
The infinite jump, yeah.
You could just jump through every level.
Oh yeah. Yeah, just there was that. I think there was a glitch that just like stopped you completely from like progressing in the game, and like they took forever to like patch it or something that, like that. Just,
it was not. They clearly didn't go back and review a lot of it, because even the cutscenes were broken, where you'd have like Eggman in like his little robot ship flying in front of you on like a path, and it would switch the camera, like it would switch to a different shot, and you could see the characters in the background, and then the new versions of them that were supposed to be in the new shot would blimp into existence, and so you'd have two versions of the characters interacting with themselves, like not interacting, but like they'd be colliding, like their character models would be colliding, and that would happen routinely through like scene after scene after scene. And like even from the initial scene of the game is just super sudden and just thrown out there. There's no explanation given. It's hilarious, to be honest. And
it is. Best,
it's one of those games where it's so bad it's good. A lot of games when it's bad, it's just miserable. But it's so bad it's good because it's just laughable and you just get to make fun of it the whole time.
Yeah, I agree. Because they're like back in the day during its initial release, I know there were like compilation videos of like all the glitches and stuff that were like almost like 10 minutes. And I would just love looking at how people could just absolutely break the game.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a game they pushed to get it out before Christmas, I think.
Yeah. So they could get those sales for all the kids.
Yeah. I remember watching that as it came out. There was a channel I used to watch all the time back in the day called Game Grumps, and they played that, and I remember watching them finish that, and it's just super crisp and clear in my memory. They get to the end and they're watching the credits and they're just losing their shit because they're like, quality assurance.
They disrespected them.
Oh man. But yeah, no game. I work too much, so I don't have time to watch a whole lot of stuff. But every once in a while, especially with Switch games, I've been playing a bit more of with the Unicorn Overlord, because I can sit down and play it for like 15 minutes and get something in. And then I'm always playing like FIFA every once in a while. But I purchased Star Wars Battlefront, the collection that came out on Friday.
And the remaster of the older
Battlefront. Yeah, that's been disastrous games? To say the least.
Really? Oh man, that is so upsetting to hear.
Part of it is it's a bit insulting, the price point. I think it's $35. Right now, if you go onto Steam, you can buy the original two games as well as the two newer versions for cheaper than the collection that has the two older games. So you could buy all four of them, including the two that are in the collection, for cheaper than just the collection. And then the multiplayer just doesn't function really at all right now, which is the main reason to buy it. Just like there's no difference other than the fact that they have servers now. That's the only real difference. They would have been better off just turning the servers on. People would have been a lot happier.
Yeah.
As it is now, you struggle to get into an online game, which isn't really what I was going to be interested in anyway, for the most part. But that, and you can't even play with friends online super easily because like I said, the servers don't work well. They got rid of 4-player split screen for 2-player max, which I don't know why. It's the new consoles and PC and everything can definitely handle 4-player split screen. It's a super old game.
Definitely, but I feel like local play is just kind of dying out for most games now.
It's unfortunate. Because I'm constantly looking for stuff for my girlfriend and I to play together, and it's super frustrating seeing a cool game and it has multiplayer or co-op, but it's online only, and it's super frustrating to me because I refuse to buy an additional console just to play cooperatively in the same house.
Yeah.
But... yeah, that and the fact that you can't play Galactic Conquest online was super frustrating, which is where you hop from planet to planet, and it's like a solar system grid where you're trying to beat out the other teams.
And you can play as either the Empire or the Rebellion.
Yeah, it's a really cool game mode, but no online for it. It's frustrating. But that's what I'll be playing as soon as they fix it. Then you got the Elden Ring DLC coming out in June, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I heard about that.
I'll actually be playing that a lot. So, but yeah, that's what I got gaming wise. But anyway, we're almost at 2 hours here, an extra 55 minutes that I didn't expect. But thank you guys for sticking out. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you for letting us come on, bro. Thank you.
I appreciate it. I had a great time having you guys on. You're welcome back anytime. It was a fun time.
Absolutely. I really enjoyed myself.
Some football chat as well. Really appreciate that.
Hey,
often I get to chat with people about it.
Hey, I'm saying more people need to watch because it's good. It's good. It's definitely a lot of fun.
Yeah. And more people need to watch leagues that aren't the MLS only. It's fine to watch it. I'm not going to trash talk people that watch the MLS at all. But watch, if you're watching it, watch more than just the MLS. You get a better view for what it is as a sport when you're
exactly
not no bottom quality.
I do remember there was a time, this is like maybe 2015, 2016, where they tried to push the MLS players into the World Cup for the US. They absolutely fucked themselves. I was watching it happen. I was like, you guys really think this is going to work? These guys are not that good. And they proved it.
The All-Star game last year, they played Arsenal and they lost like 4-5, I think.
Yeah, it's not the best. It's not the best.
5-0. Yeah.
That's tough.
Arsenal in their preseason playing with their full rotation, just getting their guys warmed up. Meanwhile, MLS in full swing, right in the middle of their season, everyone's peaking. 5-0. Yep. Absolutely blown out. The best the league has to offer. Can't even score a goal.
No, that was tough. That was tough.
It's a reality check.
Most definitely.
Oh, man. But no, thank you guys so much for coming on chat. I had a great time. Where can everyone go to check out your stuff?
Oh, bro. Thank you. But we're on Spotify right now, just Spotify, at the Super B Podcast. Just search up the Super B Podcast and follow us. We're there. I promise we're there. But yeah, that's where you can find us right now. Most definitely.
Awesome. Sounds good. Yeah. Thank you guys again so much for coming on. I had a great time. Love to have you guys back on sometime. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Taking the extra time. Sorry, it went 2 hours, but it's fun. It's fun.
Nah, you're good, bro. You're good.
Thank you. Thank you guys for listening. Appreciate you, audience. You guys sticking around. Help us get past 200 episodes. It's been busy keeping at it. Go check us out, deadgestproductions.live. Links to all of our stuff on there. And we'll see you guys next time. Peace.